A reading from Acts, the 7th chapter. Stephen continued, "But as the time of the promise drew near, which God had granted to Abraham, the people increased and multiplied in Egypt until there arose over Egypt another king who did not know Joseph. He dealt shrewdly with our race and forced our fathers to expose their infants so that they would not be kept alive. At this time, Moses was born, and he was beautiful in God's sight. And he was brought up 3 months in his father's house. And when he was exposed, Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in his words and deeds. When he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brothers, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them being wronged, he defended the oppressed man and avenged him by striking down the Egyptian. He supposed that his brothers would understand that God was giving them salvation by his hand. But they did not understand. And on the following day, he appeared to them as they were quarreling and tried to reconcile them, saying, 'Men, you are brothers. Why do you wrong each other?' But the man who was wronging his neighbor thrust him aside, saying, 'Who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?' At this retort, Moses fled and became an exile in the land of Midian, where he became the father of 2 sons. Now, when 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he was amazed at the sight. And as he drew near to look, there came the voice of the Lord, 'I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob.' And Moses trembled and did not dare to look. Then the Lord said to him, 'Take off the sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and I have come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send you to Egypt.' O Lord, have mercy on us."
Thanks be to God.
In the name of Jesus,
amen. Amen.
You can get yourself in trouble when you set out to confess the Word of God. Take Stephen, for instance. He had a holy calling, yet it was really pretty ordinary and mundane. He and 6 other men had been divinely appointed to relieve the apostles of waiting on tables so that those apostles could focus on prayer and the ministry of the Word. However, we find in today's lesson where Stephen was brought before the council, brought up on charges of speaking blasphemy against Moses, against God. But you see, that is what happens in Christ's church. Whenever you take up the cause of holiness, you become a target of attack from the evil one. As our Michigan district president David Meyer says, you've got flashing bullseyes with a spotlight all over you. You can be sure there's going to be some attacks coming your way when you serve the Lord Christ. Now, you probably know this from your own experience. If you've ever been falsely accused You know the angst and the sorrow that it can evoke within you. Once a delusional man in my community falsely accused me of assaulting him and beating him up. He even took out a restraining order against me. And just in case you didn't know, you don't last long in pastoral ministry if you go around beating up people in your community. Now, though the matter was resolved justly and quickly with the aid of our congregational lawyer, and during that time my congregation, who I'd served for 12 years, wonderfully supported me, nonetheless, those 4 weeks saw my stomach drop to my knees and my knees drop to the ground. Slander hurts. And so for a guy who was appointed to wait on table, Stephen found himself in quite a predicament. But then again, scripture is clear that he was qualified for more than just waiting on tables. Clearly, Stephen was a pretty good apologist for the holy things of God. He spoke clearly and eloquently concerning the hope that was in him. Full of grace and power, says the scriptures, Stephen was doing great wonders and signs among the people. He debated with men from the synagogue of the freedmen. That included the Cyrenians, the Alexandrians, those from Cilicia and Asia. But, says Acts, they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. And that is when things went south. You see, when you're not winning, when your side isn't winning, you resort to other tactics. Falsehoods are spread. Untruths are told. Lies are spoken to gain the advantage. That's the way of the sinful heart. Be that in the grade school hallway, at a family gathering, at a church elders meeting, or even, I hear tell, at church conventions. How quickly those falsely accused can become the false accusers. Maybe you have experienced that. Now, Stephen knew the pain of slander. Maybe you do too. Those who touted the 8th commandment were all too quick to happily break it. Acts 6:11 says, they secretly instigated men who said, we've heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. Stirred up people, the elders, the scribes. They made false accusations. Perhaps some even sought a restraining order. And then they brought him to the council. And then with the face of an angel, says scripture, this waiter of tables tells the good news of God's promise to Abraham and God's deliverance through Moses. Today's reading especially captures the irony in his sermon. Even as Stephen himself was being rejected by the Jews around him, he emphasized how Moses was first rejected by the Hebrews around him. Stephen knew his Old Testament history. That was the Bible. He spoke no blasphemy. In fact, he stressed how 40 years after his exile, Moses stood before a burning bush and was told to remove his sandals lest God's holiness consume him. The ground was holy because God, Yahweh, was present. We ought not miss this point. Where rejection made Moses an exile, God's holiness made him a mouthpiece. It purified him, it cleansed him, and it set him forth as a prophet. Yes, it is a dangerous thing to come into the presence of God's holiness. It will either devour you, destroy you, and annihilate you with all of your sins and impurity, or it will cleanse you, comfort you, and caress you with the unconditional love and affection of our Heavenly Father. It will sanctify you from head to toe by God's grace. Now, Stephen use this Old Testament narrative to point to the one who would deliver God's holiness once for all, once and for all. In his words, verse 37, this is the Moses who said to the Israelites, God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. Stephen was pointing to Jesus. Stephen gave them Jesus, the Holy One of God. And for that, he was put to death. His angel face marred and mashed by stones. He was truly baptized into Christ's death. And so you who have ears to hear, now hear this. Such is what happens to those who receive Jesus. We receive his death. First given to you in the waters of baptism, pressed upon you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then laid upon you over and over again through the crosses that our Lord gives to you to bear in faith and holiness. See, as Moses once stood upon holy ground, Stephen reminds us that in God's good time, Christ Jesus came as God's holiness incarnate. He was the prophet who was raised up like the prophets before him, like Moses and like Stephen, who too were rejected by those to whom he was sent. In fact, he was raised up on the cross of Calvary so that all could see that he was not only rejected by humankind, but he was deliberately and excruciatingly rejected by his Father in heaven. And to be sure, he endured false accusations. He had no one to intercede for him, no one to come to his defense, no one to stand in his corner. He was rejected by God in your place so that you never will be. The holiness of God in the flesh endured all that was vile, impure, and unholy so that you, right here, right now, are made holy by his very word. On that cross, he takes your impurity, and by his resurrection, he gives you his holiness. And so now, even in the very presence of your enemies, the Lord sets a table before you, and he cleanses you from outside in and inside out. His holy body and his holy blood put into you, and by it he devours all that is impure and consumes all that is unholy, including all that hurt, all the wrongs, and all the false accusations you may have suffered, as well as those that you may have committed. They all melt away in his holiness. And now not merely do you stand upon holy ground, but you yourself, your very body, is the undefiled temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, his holiness makes you a mouthpiece to boldly confess and to joyfully praise his name to all who will listen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.